Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and it's so true what we've been singing. God will take care of you. And thank the Lord for that. It's so true tonight that the Lord will take care of us. The Lord bless all that's here. And just remember in prayer, Stephen Johnson, he's not feeling too well. And my mum's caught the flu. Some poor taxi driver. Must have had it. My mum's a case, isn't she? But she's still my mum. That's the thing about it. And you only have one mum. And I've even preached to look after your mum. So praise God, the Lord bless my mum tonight. And whoever that taxi driver is, may the Lord touch him too. Praise God. God is good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We want to read from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is really, I don't know if this is the right title, but just to get a few thoughts over this evening. Praise God. The dying believer's testimony. And, you know, Paul was wanting to go, wasn't he? Paul was wanting to leave the body and go to be with the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there's only one faith. Let's bow our heads again this evening. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand to the Lord. And we're going to keep praying for Sister Linda as well, that the Lord will be with her this time as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we reverently and humbly bow before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name which you have set far above every other name. For neither is there salvation in any other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we plead the merits of your blood on this house tonight and all that's in it and all that's near and dear to us. We pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And we ask for the sick and the afflicted tonight that we've mentioned, that you'll touch every one of them, my mom, the taxi man, and Lord Stephen Johnson, and for Sister Linda, touch her, Lord, we pray. And may she be well, and the little one, just protect them, watch over them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. I need your help, but I thank you it's available. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless your word to their hearts and speak to us from these few scriptures tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And if anyone's tuned in or listening in till any of our services, we pray you'll help them and speak to them and touch souls that need your touch. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God. You know, this is a joyful testimony written by Paul, a prisoner. And Paul was a prisoner. And you know, when Paul had a mighty visitation from God, he persecuted the church. He was against the church, but he had a mighty visitation. And a light shone on him so bright that he fell down of his horse and he was blinded for a time. And the Lord said to him, he said, who art you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. So that light, Jesus, was in the form of the light. And thank God he is the light. Amen. The Bible says he's the light of the world. And Paul saw the bright light. People used to joke years ago, he saw the light. Paul did see a light. There's truth in that. People joked about it, but there's Bible truth in seeing the light. Paul literally saw a light. Amen. And it blinded him. And the Bible tells us, and the Lord told Paul, you're going to suffer many things to be my servant. And we know Paul suffered many things, but Paul was joyful to be prisoner. And while lying in a dungeon in Rome, waiting for the hour of his doom, there's some things that I want to bring out tonight from these verses about Paul. The first one is Paul has a victorious past. He's ready to go with the people of the Lord, And though he said all that suffering and beaten and whipped, often in the deep, shipwrecked, he said, received the same stripes as Jesus on his back, and they'd done many evil things till him, stoned him and everything, and tried to kill him, but he was victorious. Amen. His life was victorious because he was obedient to the heavenly vision. Amen. His life was victorious because he was obedient to the heavenly vision. As a soldier, he fought the good fight. Verse 7 of our text tonight. He had gone through the glorious contest. And we're in a contest tonight. We're in a contest. And because we're in the contest, our brother Davy McConville preached some good services for it on it a while back. We need the full armor of God on. And we have to have the full armor of God on because we're in a contest. We need the shield of faith. We need the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the breastplate of righteousness strapped round us. And we need to go forward for the Lord. Soldiers need to go forward for the Lord. And Saul went forward for the Lord. Paul, as we know, his name was changed later after the visitation of Abram to Abraham. He got the name changed and he went forward for the Lord. He fought the good fight of faith. And there's only one faith tonight. People talk about the faiths, but there's not the faiths. There is singular, the one faith. And Paul fought against principalities and powers and evil spirits and the unseen world. And the Bible tells us tonight that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil spirits that are in high places. But we have somewhere higher. We have somewhere higher. And we've been given a name that's far above every name. And because of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to that name. And every devil must take heed to that name. We've been given that name to use it. And Paul knew how to use that name, praise God. It was a good fight because it was the goodness he had discovered in God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was able to fight the good fight. Not because of himself, but because he had learned to trust in the Lord and he had learned to use that power he had received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another thing why it was good. He was a racer. He was a racer. Paul took part in the race. Paul wasn't sitting on the sidelines viewing the race. Paul wasn't watching it from afar, but Paul had took part in the race. And we as Christians are in a race tonight. We're in a contest and we're in a race tonight. And there's prizes for those that's in the race, isn't there? There's prizes. He had finished his course, he said. His course was specifically marked out for him by the Lord. And every one of us tonight, whether we know it or not, have a course marked out for us by the Lord. Our course is marked out. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to become the sons of God. And God foreknew and foresees everything. Amen. Just like we heard about the prophet, that old prophet this morning told the fellow the lies. He didn't see nothing. But we saw in Samuel the prophet, he told Saul what would happen. He seen him before he came. He was able to see him before he came. And when he got there, he was able to see future, what would happen where he was going. So he's seen his past, his present, and his future. And that's a type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight. He knows our past, and it's washed away in the blood of Jesus, no longer to be remembered against us, no more. It cannot be recalled, because it is gone from the memory and the mind of God into the sea, hallelujah, of God's great forgetfulness because of the blood of the Lamb of God. And he sees our present. He knows our condition tonight. And he's a high priest who's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And thank God he knows our future. And he said to the disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Paul was in this race. Acts 9, 15 and 16 says this. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he has chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Paul was going to suffer for the gospel, but that wasn't going to change Paul. Paul was in a contest, and Paul was in a race, and Paul was going to suffer many things for the gospel's sake, but it wasn't going to deter Paul. And you know, I want to say this evening, as Christians, we're not always on the mountain. Let's be honest about it. There's many times we feel we're in the valleys, we feel we're alone, we feel many different feelings. But there's one thing we know tonight, that Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, though I'm with you always to the end. Hallelujah. We have somebody that's with us. Somebody that's with us. And Paul knew he had somebody that was with him. He had a friend that would stick closer than a brother. And Paul was willing to give up all and die for the Lord because he knew he had a far greater reward coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's not wonderful. The track divinely ordained for this runner. Many obstacles which proved hard for the flesh and hard for the blood. Exodus 20, 23 tells us, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So he suffered much. You read through the book of Acts. I'm only using these as examples to let you see. Paul suffered in bonds. Paul suffered in afflictions. You know, Paul had even a thorn in the flesh. And this is a man that saw great miracles. Let me tell you, the Bible says special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. Special miracles, not just ordinary miracles, but very special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. But yet Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and when he prayed to the Lord to remove it, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. He never removed it. The Lord never removed it. He kept it. And you know why? Paul had so much revelation, and he was so mightily used of God. It kept him humble, didn't it? It kept him humble. And I tell you, sometimes we can't answer some of the things that happens. We can't understand them. Let's be honest about it. I've been preaching for years. As things take place, I can't understand it. The only scripture that helped me is the secret things belong unto the Lord. And God can show you many things, and there's other things he might never show you. And that's down to the Lord. And you know, it's true with people as well that maybe can't see some things that others can see. And we can't make them see it. Only the Lord can open someone's eyes to see it. Praise God. The eye salve does that. Amen. And you know, didn't Jesus say that you should be thankful for prophets and priests to desire to see these things and have not? But unto you they're revealed. Amen. But Paul suffered. It's ours to run in the way of his commandments. It is his to help us to finish. So all we can do, as our brother John preached this morning, we're to be obedient. And when we are obedient, I want to tell you this evening, when we're obedient, it's the Lord's job to help us. Amen. It's the Lord's job to make it happen. When we preach the word of God, we don't make it good. We don't make it come to pass. The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it and to bring it to pass. When we lay hands on the sick, it's God that makes it happen. It's God that confirms the word. We don't confirm it. He confirms it. We just believe it. We obey the Lord. Amen. We hold to the truth. And when we obey the Lord and we hold to the truth, even though with persecution, even though with trials and sickness could fall upon any of us, but the Lord's still a healer. And we can explain some things, but we trust in the Lord. Amen. Here's another thing about him as a believer. He kept the faith. So he was in the contest and he was in the race. And as a believer, he kept the faith. And God wants me and you tonight to keep the faith. And he doesn't want us, as we heard this morning, to keep any old faith. But God has given us the real faith to keep. And God has been gracious to us. He's opened our understandings. And we know in the 20th century that God sent a mighty prophet, sent from God. Now, I know lots of people don't want to hear nothing about that. But what are you going to do? Take it out of the Bible and throw it over the hedge? I'm not. I'm going to believe it. And God didn't send that so that we would worship a man or follow a man or make a new organization. God done that to turn us back to the truth. Back to the apostolic blessing. Back to the original faith that the first church had. Back to the day of Pentecost, where the church began at Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost was outpoured. And there was no such thing as preaching the Trinity then or baptizing in titles. But they knew that Jesus Christ was both Lord and God. And they knew they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They knew it. And God has brought us back to them truths. And we're to keep the faith. God's been speaking to us that we're to keep the faith. Don't sell what you have. Keep it. Amen. Be obedient. He kept the faith. He guarded the truth that was revealed to them. God revealed the truth to them. And he guarded it. And he preached. And he presented the gospel of God's grace revealed to him by Jesus Christ. He said, I never received this from man, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, Paul got it to right, didn't he? He got it to right. As we heard this morning, when God really speaks to you, and you really have the word of the Lord, hold on to it. Someone might come and claim they're a servant of God, and they might be, as we heard this morning. But if they preach another gospel, we're going to see it in a moment. Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Jesus Christ unto another gospel. Now, I've heard people telling me and preaching that we are revelated people. Then them same people preach that you don't get saved today the way you used to get saved, but turn the corner and everything's changed now. But I want to say this evening in this house and in this recording tonight, I want to tell you that you're saved the same way that you were always saved in this Bible. And the way you were always saved was by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God's words are absolute tonight. And neither is there salvation in any other name. For there's only one saving name, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved in the name. We're baptized in the name. And we're filled with the Holy Ghost in the same name. It's a saving name, a healing name. Praise God. And that's the one we're looking for to come again, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as another way to be saved that God's changed, because God does not change his mind about his word. It's perfect the first time. So the gospel that Paul preached can't be altered. The gospel that Paul preached can't be changed. Paul says that we're building on this foundation and don't let anybody else change it or lay anything else to it. And he says, look what he says here in verse 7. Praise God, I'm getting excited. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what they've done. They're perverters. Paul says they're perverters. When a man comes and says, you're not saved outside of the message, where does it say that in your Bible? You're not saved outside of Jesus Christ. He is the message. And if you're not preaching him, you have no message. All you have is a name, but it's a dead one. And I don't care what you call it. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's lifeless. Look what it says here in verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel. And we heard this morning how the old boy said, an angel told me. But it was a lie. And here this evening we're saying in 2 Timothy here in chapter 4, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you, than that which we have preached, let it be accursed. And that means the curse of God's on him. I tell you, you know, I've listened to the whole life story of Paul Keane. I don't know if most people, I'm sure, has heard of Paul Keane. But Paul Keane, let me just give you a little background if anybody that's listening or someone doesn't know about Paul Keane. Paul's Keane's mother, you know, she was dying with cancer. And she had actually cancer in her breast. And the doctor came to see her and told her that she'll not have the baby. The baby will die. And even if she had the baby, cancer so much in her body that she couldn't do anything with the baby, and she's going to die and everything. But the angel of the Lord visited her. Now, before the angel visited her, there's people came to see her, and they told her she's going to die, and they give her up and everything to die. And she's so skinny and so weak, but there's two old Pentecostal women went in and started praying for her, and the power of God fell on them. And the angel of the Lord came to that woman, and he said to her, "You will live and not die. And you will have a son, and you will call him Paul, because he will be a prophet." Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that around certain circles, because they say there's only one prophet. But there's lots of prophets in the Bible, as we've been seeing. And God can raise a prophet up anytime he wants. And there's still a fivefold ministry. And one of the gifts in it is a prophet from God. And I believe you can still have prophets today. Amen. It's not just from the past. It's not. Just as much as you can have a pastor or an evangelist, you can have a prophet of God. And that angel told her he's going to be a prophet. And I tell you, Paul Cain was born. And I'm telling you, many years ago, and Paul Cain had a ministry similar to William Branham. So much, what William Branham was meant to go to Switzerland. And the angel came to William Branham and he said, "You'll not go, because they'll shoot you dead. But Paul Cain will go in your place." And Paul Cain was a young man. What do you think of this? This evening, this is wonderful. God tells the prophet William Branham, "Paul Cain will go in your place. And I will do with him the same things." And he rings Paul Cain up. And as Paul Cain's mother's told him the night before, "You'll be getting a phone call, son. The Lord's going to use you, and you're going to be gone." The next day he gets a phone call. And it's William Branham rings him, "And you're going to go." And when Paul Cain stepped to that plane, there was somebody there to shoot William Branham, but it was Paul Cain, so they didn't shoot. And you know, Paul Cain was saying, "I've no money to go." And William Branham rang him back, and he said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm giving you the money to go as well." God knows everything, just like Samuel the prophet. Amen? And Paul Cain went, and when Paul Cain went, and the police all around the stadium, and they weren't allowed to pray for the sick. And the policemen was all around the stadium, because they weren't allowed to pray for the sick. The healing ministry hadn't got the freedom in some countries back then what it's got now. And I tell you, the first service, the first night, the policemen got saved. And they got converted. That's just about how the Lord works. I like that. Amen? And they get saved and converted. And Paul Cain began to operate discernment and to call people out and everything by their names and everything. And God mightly used Paul Cain. But while I'm telling that story is to get to this point that's important. But another gospel. Paul Cain was sitting in a hotel room many years later, and a man appeared to him. And the man told him his name and who he was. And he says, "If you'll do what I tell you and join up with these certain groups and organizations, I'll make you a multimillionaire in the morning." And his mother said to someone with him, "The devil has appeared to Paul in the room. Let's pray." And he believes it was the devil in the form of a man appeared to him to deceive him. And the Bible says many are transformed as angels of light, but they're actually devils. And that's a warning, and we heard this morning in the morning. And there's so many today, and they're beautiful to look at, but wicked in their heart. Just like in the Bible, it came in like a lamb, but it went out like a dragon. Rome came in like a lamb, but went out like a dragon. And there's so many today, and the butter would never melt in the mouth. You'd have to warm it at the fires, we say here in Ireland. But they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Give them the word test. Amen. Amen? The word test. And Paul here has the word test. And Paul's preaching, and Paul's warning us. He's a contender. He's a runner. He's defending the original faith. And he says, if an angel preaches anything different, don't believe it. If they don't speak according to the law and the prophets, there's no light in them. That's the word of God. Thank God tonight. You see, a peaceful presence. I'm now ready here to Paul. Paul was at peace. Paul in all these troubles. Paul in all these wars. But Paul had a peaceful presence with him. He was ready to go. I'm now ready, verse 6 of our original text, Timothy. I'm now ready, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was ready to go. We should always be ready to go. Amen? We don't know how long the Lord will give us, but we should be ready to go. He was ready like the ripe fruit to fall in the hand of him who he belonged to. And the Bible speaks of the fruit, and it speaks of the forerunner, and Jesus Christ is our forerunner. Death to him had no stinger, no terror. Paul wasn't afraid of death. Death to Paul was a doorway into the marvelous, glorious place that the Lord Jesus had prepared for him. To him, the grave had no victory. Amen? The grave had no victory because he knew absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. He knew, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you will be also. He knew that in Philippians 1:23. Paul says, drama straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. He had a desire to go and be with the Lord. I tell you, how many people really have a desire to go and be with the Lord? Or how many people tonight is holding on to the worldly goods and the worldly affairs, and they're not really wanting to go or willing to go? They're not really looking for the coming of the Lord. Jesus warns us, and Jesus says, be ye also ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour. What you think not? Amen? If the good man of the house had known in what hour the feast would have came, and you know the feast usually comes when people sleep. And I tell you, as a nation, there's so many Christians sleeping tonight. They're sleeping. And they've been rocked to sleep. But God's a group of people that's waking. Because the Bible says there shall be light at the evening time. What happens when there's light? When you rise in the early morning, isn't it beautiful when you see first light come up? And you say it's daytime. I will arise. Hallelujah. We cannot work when it's dark. We must work while it's day. But God has sent us light. Amen. And we must go forward in the light. But there's many in darkness tonight. Here this morning, when I come in here this morning, I could hardly get in the gates. The cars were flowing down both sides of the street. Because, and I'm not saying anything against our neighbors over here, but they're in darkness, let's be honest about it. They're in absolute darkness tonight. They're not saved. They're not hearing about getting saved or born again. They're in darkness. And many of them don't want the light. And the man that's leading them is in darkness as well. And the Bible says the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. We need to pray for people we know that's in darkness, don't we? For the light. Be ye also ready. Our readiness does not consist in the amount of good works we have done, or the number of years we've lived, or how good we've been. But you know what makes us ready? The first thing that makes us ready is John 3, verse 3. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We have to be born again. Born again is Spirit of God. That's what makes us ready. Being born again is Spirit of God. Amen. And there's so many people tonight playing church and joining lodges. I was near going to preach about that, but I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't preach about it in case we get through out of here. By joining the lodges and keeping the secrets. Amen. All of it's on scripture. All of it. You can't do them things. There's no secrets with the Lord. I'll tell you that right now. Now I know some people mightn't believe that, but nevertheless I could prove it from the Word of God. Amen. Now God could tell you a secret. I'm not talking about that. But you see the Masonic and these orders, secrets and the stuff they're doing is wrong. It's an antichrist movement to the core. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Isn't that the word? Let me just tell you, just briefly, a little text of a little story that I was reading today when I was praying and studying. A Scotsman lay dying in a country home while a snowstorm was on. His daughter said, "Father, will I read to you?" And this is what he answered to her. "No, my lassie, don't trouble. I thatched my house in calm weather." He's more or less telling her, "I'm ready to go." She's concerned about his soul. She's concerned as he's ready. And he told her, "I thatched my house in the calm weather. And now that the snow has come, don't be worried about it. The roof is thatched." In other words, I got saved years ago, and I'm ready to go to be with the Lord tonight. I haven't left it all. I've got saved. And I tell you this evening, and I want to stress it again and again, the most important thing in this world is to be saved. That's the most important thing, to be saved and be ready to go with be with the Lord. Blissful future. And I'm finishing in this. A blissful future. That's what we have. We're not entering out into some sort of remorse. You know, we're entering out as a blissful future with the Lord. Do you realize if any of our loved ones, if we brought them back tonight, they wouldn't want to come back? You could read of Wigglesworth calling his wife back and she said, "I'm not coming. Let me go." Same thing with William Branham. You could read of so many wonderful servants of God, and they said to them great preachers, "You don't know the half even what you're talking about. It's that good." And there's not the Bible, "For I have not seen, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, who are the called according to his promise." God is far more beautiful and wonderful. Heaven is prepared for us than we can ever imagine tonight. There's no house on this earth can compare to the place he's made for us. And we're not getting away room in some wee poke of a corner, but we're getting a mansion in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't believe in a room. I'm getting a mansion. Amen. I like that song that sings, "I have a mansion over yonder." Hallelujah. A mansion. Praise God for the mansion. Not only are we getting a mansion, but we're coming back here with the Lord for 1,000 years. We're going to come back here for 1,000 years. I'll tell you something. You won't need no products. You won't need anything for them 1,000 years. But whatever God does with your body and my body, we're going to live and we're going to reign with the Lord 1,000 years. And the oldest man that ever lived never reached 1,000 years. We're going to live longer than the oldest man that ever lived because we've come in contact with Almighty God. And that's going to make the difference, isn't it? Praise God for it. Verse 8 says of Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 8. "Henceforth there's laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me." Hallelujah. The Lord will give me. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord's going to give you a crown of righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? You're running a race. You're in a contest tonight. You have to be faithful. And the Lord's going to give you your own crown. Hallelujah. Kings and priests unto the Lord. Praise God. The crown of righteousness is the reward that is kept and bestowed upon those who have lived righteous. And how have we done it? We haven't done it of our own selves, but we've done it to the Lord. God-pleasing life. But it's not only for an apostle, but for all them that love his appearing. That love his appearing. Praise God. I tell you, aren't you love the Lord's appearing tonight? There's so much more I could say, but I'm going to stop just in a moment. I want to read you this from 1 Peter 5:4. "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." He's got a crown for you. I'll tell you, you'll not get much here, but the Lord's a crown for you. Now think for a moment as we close this service. Think for a moment. Think of the crowning of King Charles. Our Matthew, he knows all about the history of them things. I don't know much about it, but Matthew's good on that. And he knows about it, how they do all that stuff. When I was working with them then, when they were doing it. But wasn't it wonderful to watch it? All the things they did and how they crowned him. And how they went before him and the crown and everything was laid on him. And I want you to think this evening that though nobody here looks at you or me as anything, the Lord's putting a crown on you. You're going to receive a crown from the Lord himself. It's not wonderful. Revelation 22:12, as I finish, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Praise God for that. To give every man according to his work, to his work. The Lord has a reward for you. Amen. The Lord has a reward for your brother. The Lord has a reward for your sister. Whatever you're doing, it might seem in the eyes of some people it's not much, but the Lord sees it, recognizes it, and he has a reward for you. And he wants you to rejoice even in tribulation and in trials and all them things, like Paul the Apostle. And as I close this evening, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let's stand our feet this evening. Praise God. Praise God. I want to pray again tonight before we go out of this house. I want us to just worship. As a brother comes, a few songs and we'll go. But I want you to be encouraged tonight. Don't be afraid. Have no fear. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Paul says, I was young and now I'm old. And the psalmist David, sorry. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. We're going to be soon looking at the psalmist David and the book of Samuel as we go through it. And if the Lord wills and leads, we'll maybe get to Kings as well. We heard a bit from Kings this morning. Wasn't it great? Isn't God good? Let's close our eyes tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. Lord, surely we can say it tonight with the Song of Solomon. You were altogether lovely. The fairest of 10,000. To my soul, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright, the morning star. He that was dead and is alive forevermore, the first, the last, the living one. We worship you this evening. Father, I pray you bless all that's in this house tonight. I'm asking you that you'll meet every need and confirm your word with signs and wonders and divers miracles. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Lord, touch every single person in this room tonight. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Those that need a miracle touch, Lord, I'm asking you for mercy tonight. You're the Lord that healeth. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, you said, but still I know that I'm God. We're looking to you tonight. Pray you'll bless every sister, bless every brother, bless every boy and every girl. Do good. Bless her very children and her substance, her goings out, her comings in. Go before us, go behind us, to the left and right. We pray again for Israel tonight. We pray that the hand of God will be mightily upon Israel, that the angels of the Lord will camp round about them, left, right, front and back, and that they'll get the victory over their enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We bless them this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, protect them, we pray. And protect all in this house. Keep us safe. Take us to our homes in safety tonight. Bless the meetings that lay ahead. Bless our brother John from this morning. And Lord, all that's planned ahead, bless and undertake. As we acknowledge you in all our ways. And know you will direct our paths. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother Gary comes. Don't forget Thursday night. We'll be back here. And then Sunday, Scarva. The Lord bless each one.
Robbie, we'll just say a couple of portions before.